Today I'm going to tell you about a boy who was nicknamed Ironhead, who grew into a man they nicknamed the Intimidator. Stick around and I'm going to tell you about a real NC legend, Dale Earnhardt. Welcome to the NC Everything Podcast. I'm your host, Curtis, and this is the bi-weekly show where I talk about everything that has anything to do with North Carolina. A few things before I get started. If this is your first time listening, thank you for joining me. And if you're a returning guest, thank you for joining me again. Also, if you want to skip some of the talk before we get to the main core of the episode, don't forget to check the description below. Right there at the top, there's a timestamp of when the actual content starts. And since we're talking about the links, don't forget to check the links for more NC Everything Podcast. That includes a link to the Facebook group and my email address, which is thencEverythingPodcast@gmail.com. And if you hadn't noticed already, you will notice I'm really tired. I had a really hard day at work, but I want to knock this episode out. So I'm going to try to stick with it, but I'm pretty sleepy. And before I get started, I want to say if you're watching on YouTube and you'd rather just listen, I can be found on most podcast players. And if you're listening and you want to put a face behind the voice, the link for my YouTube channel is in the description below as well. Also, and I don't know if I'll remember to put a link down there, but my wife and I do another show called Tasting NC, where we taste everything that has anything to do with North Carolina. So if you get bored in between episodes, definitely check out Tasting NC. Now, if you're a returning guest to the show, you know I normally film kind of out in my yard, but today you really can't tell in the video, but it's sprinkling, it's kind of rainy and cloudy. I'm not complaining. I've been wanting some rain. It's been really hot, and I'm kind of enjoying the rain out here, but I'm under my front porch today. And again, maybe because I'm tired, or maybe I just want to go ahead and get it done. Let's go ahead and get into the content. Like I said in the intro, we're going to be talking about Dale Earnhardt Sr., and this is a suggestion by Rip from Smithfield. Thank you, Rip, for suggesting it. So Dale Earnhardt Sr.'s story starts in 1951. Ralph Dale Earnhardt was born on April 29th, 1951, in Kannapolis, North Carolina. What I didn't know was that his dad, Ralph Earnhardt, he was also a race car driver. And, you know, this may be, you know, old news for a lot of people. If you listen to some of my other NASCAR episodes, I've never been a huge NASCAR fan. I used to cut it on the radio when I was kind of messing around in the shop a little bit, and occasionally I'd sit down and watch a little bit of the races, but I've never been a hardcore NASCAR fan. I used to like the first 10 laps and you know, maybe last 20, and that was about it. But anyway, yes, his dad, Ralph Earnhardt, was a race car driver, and his dad, his nickname was Ironheart. And his dad started racing in 1949, and he ultimately won 350 NASCAR races in his career. So, of course, when Dale was just a kid, he kind of developed that love for cars, too. When he was 16, in the ninth grade, he drops out of school and tries to get his own racing career off the ground. But he'd be 19 before he really started racing dirt tracks around North Carolina. And early on, Dale Earnhardt was known to be an aggressive driver, and since his dad's name was Ironheart, Dale got the name Ironhead. Well, finally, in May of 1975, Dale Earnhardt finally gets into NASCAR. He competed in the World 600 at the Charlotte Motor Speedway and finished 22nd. And today, that race, the World 600, is called the Coca-Cola 600. And 22nd place may not be great, but it caught the attention of a guy named Rod Osterlund. This was 1979. Osterlund, he was a racing sponsor out of California. And he started a racing team in 1977, so when he kind of started noticing Dale Earnhardt, his racing team wasn't but 2 years old. But almost immediately when Osterlund met Dale Earnhardt, he signed him to a full-time Winston Cup contract for the 1979 season. Coincidentally, that same year, Earnhardt got his first NASCAR win. He won the Southeastern 500 in Bristol, Tennessee. And by the end of that season, he had become the first driver to ever win $200,000 in his rookie year. And the fact that he had won $200,000 in his rookie year, which also gave him the Rookie of the Year award that year, it didn't make him calm down anymore. It made him drive that much more aggressively. So eventually his name was changed from Ironhead to the Intimidator. And that's what the world mostly knows him as. So if you're not a NASCAR fan, if you never watched Dale Earnhardt race, he was known to drive around a track and kind of bump and push other cars out of his way. And it happens on accident from time to time, but it was no accident when Dale Earnhardt done it. He'd run right up on you and push you right out of his way. In 1980, Earnhardt won his first Winston Cup championship. And this made Earnhardt the first driver to ever win Rookie of the Year and Points Champion in back-to-back seasons. It wasn't long after this that Oosterlin sold his team to J.D. Stacy. That was 1981. And then Earnhardt started racing for Richard Childress. He raced with Childress for a little while, then he started racing with Bud Moore, but he eventually went back to Richard Childress in the 1983 season, and this is really when his career really started taking off. In the 1985 season, he won 5 races and his second Winston Cup Championship in 1986. In 87, he won 11 races and a third Winston Cup Championship. Now, like I said, the Intimidator, he was known for really aggressive driving and pushing people out of his way. And it didn't go unnoticed, and it didn't go unscolded. In 1987, the president of NASCAR, finally came down on Earnhardt and told him he needs to calm the hell down. And this didn't go in one ear and out the other. Dale Earnhardt, he did try to build better relationships with the drivers and, you know, play a little more nicer game out on the track. And then he turned around in 1990 and won his 4th Winston Cup Championship. Then his 6th Winston Cup Championship came in 1993. His 7th Winston Cup win would come in 1994, and this tied him with Richard Petty. And then he kind of died down for a couple years, but in 1996, and I thought this was pretty impressive, in 1996, he became the 3rd driver to ever start 500 consecutive Winston Cup races. So just to explain that a little better, when you're in the starting position, you know, you're ahead of everybody. You've qualified, and you've won the pole position, so he did this 500 consecutive times. The next year, in 1997, he broke $30 million in career earnings. And that doesn't seem like a lot today. Most athletes get $30 million for hardly anything. But at that time, 1997, that was the most earnings ever for a race car driver. Now, I keep talking about Earnhardt winning over and over and over again. He won the Winston Cup Championship so many times. But there was one race up to this point that he had never won, and that was the Daytona 500. And he'd been down to Daytona. He'd raced it several times, but he hadn't quite won it yet. There was always something wrong with his car or something would get in the way, and that was the one race he hadn't quite won yet. Now, I say he had car trouble a lot. He did have a really bad crash down there in 1997. He bumped into the wall down there and then kind of brushed Jeff Gordon, and then he was rear-ended by Dale Jarrett. And this caused Earnhardt to go into a spinning roll. But before he could come to a stop, his car was hit by Ernie Irvin's car, and this kind of threw Dale Earnhardt off the track. Now, he actually survived that wreck without a scratch on him. And if you watch footage of the wreck, I really don't know how he survived. But surviving this wreck without a scratch just kind of built up his legend even more, you know. But that next year, in 1998, he came back to Florida and won his first ever Daytona 500. But now let's jump ahead to 2001. Dale Earnhardt was yet again at the Daytona 500. He was following his son, Dale Earnhardt Jr., and his teammate, Michael Waltrip. Everything seemed to be going okay, but all of a sudden he brushed into Sterling Marlin's car and crashed head-on into the wall of the 4th turn at 180 miles an hour. And as soon as he hit the wall, he was hit pretty hard by Ken Schrader. Now, I don't know if it happened during the head-on collision or when Kenny Schrader hit him, but he had a basilar skull fracture, which pretty much means he had a break at the base of his skull. Unfortunately, Dale Earnhardt was killed almost instantly. And I remember, I don't know if it was the day he died, I don't think it was the day he died, but I was in high school, and I'm sure it was probably that following Monday. It was worse than like if the president had gotten killed. And yes, I'm from the South, and the majority of my high school are NASCAR fans. Everybody knows of Dale Earnhardt, even if you're not a NASCAR fan. And it was probably the most quiet day at my high school I'd ever seen. Everybody was in tears, even the teachers, you know, some of them were broken up. Some of them didn't even show up to school that day. I can only imagine the equivalent being when JFK was killed or when they discovered Elvis Presley dead. The family did have a celebration of life on February 22nd at Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. Dale Beaver, who is a motor racing outreach chaplain, he gave the eulogy. And the service was by invitation only, but it was broadcast live. And a few safety measures came after the death of Dale Earnhardt. Oh, well, probably several, but the ones I've got notes about was the Hans device. So after he died, all the NASCAR drivers were forced to wear the Hans device. And what this did was just stabilize your neck in the event of a crash. They also started installing softer walls. The walls would kind of absorb the energy in case a car ran into it. You know, it would limit how much a car would start busting up. And I hate to end this episode as abruptly as Dale Earnhardt's life ended, but we are at the end. Now, several of Dale Earnhardt's kids and grandkids, they also got into racing and kind of carried on the racing tradition. But that's all I have on Dale Earnhardt. I know this is going to be a shorter episode. He had a short life. You know, I didn't want to sit here and just rattle on and try to make a 30-minute episode when I really couldn't. And also, I'm pretty tired. I put this episode together a while back, so my fatigue has nothing to do with the length of the episode. But whether it's a long episode or short episode, I hope you enjoyed it. And like I said toward the beginning of the episode, Dale Earnhardt really is a North Carolina legend. I don't think you have to be a racing fan to appreciate what he accomplished in his short life. But anyway, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Check out the links below. And don't forget to check out Tasting NC, where me and my wife try everything that has anything to do with North Carolina. Thank you again, Rip, for the suggestion. I know you suggested it a really long time ago. If you don't know Rip, Rip gave me a bunch of suggestions, a lot of them, so I kind of peppered them in as we go. But anyway, thanks again for suggestions, and don't be afraid to reach out. If you have a suggestion for episode, you can email me at thenceverythingpodcast@gmail.com, or if you join the Facebook group, you can send your suggestion right there. That's all I got for this episode, so I'll talk to you in a couple weeks.